Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Green Magic, Green Medicine. I'm your host, Daniel Michael, or co-host for this show. Actually, Susan Weed is the host of this one. Herbal medicine is people's medicine. We discuss psychology of healing, the healing power of flowers, plants, herbs, things that grow. We've even discussed butter before and the healing qualities of that. And as you can hear, I'm out here in the studios at Cafe Fairfax as myself and my brother and Lagrande and Stefan and everyone else had been working and recording our new album, Songs of the New Old Ways. And as often happens, went out here in the studio with the Wi-Fi connection, the more professional sounding plugs and openers that we use for Main Street Universe and for the other shows as well don't seem to work. I press on the songs and they just spin and spin and spin and spin. So as of now, I'll give everybody some updates as to all of the shows right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network, starting with this one, Tuesday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. And Susan is an author, teacher, lecturer, and discusses herbal medicine, women's health issues, and psychology of healing. She has many books, and you can check it out. I linked right to her book page of her website from the Wise Woman Center. So she's here every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Then at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesdays, is the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe, with myself and associate producer Janice R. White. It was founded by myself and Mr. Kevin Baird. And it used to be a daytime show at 11 a.m., but now it is on every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And I think tomorrow we're just going to open the phone lines and do some readings. On Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Renegade Wise Woman Radio. And that is with your hostess, Queen Mother Imaku, who is a priestess of the Kemetic tradition. They talk about issues of social awareness as well as spiritual issues, including original language prayers. She's a teacher of Kemetic yoga. So check it out, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Queen Mother Imaku, with her show Renegade Wise Woman Radio. And then on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Walking on the Sidewalk with your host, Mr. Kevin Baird. And Kevin is the creator of the Horizon Oracle Cards. And he can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. And then on midnight, Friday at midnight, we have Jessie Ann Nichols-George and her show Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And Jessie is the author of four books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook, as well as You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook. So check it out. She has lots of interesting guests. It's midnight. Jessie Ann and Nichols George, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And as you can tell, I'm near a drum set. So then on Sundays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Spiritual Insight with your host, Mr. Darren Boucare. Darren is a reader of palmistry and tarot at Marie Lovell's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. So if you're ever in New Orleans, go to Marie Lovell's House of Voodoo and check him out. And he has a show with us here Sundays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Spiritual Insight. Then at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our host, Mr. Randy Goldberg, with the show Science of Light. And Randy is a Vedic astrologer as well as doing Western astrology. In his show, he discusses Jungian archetypes and many other metaphysical and esoteric matters. Check him out. He was once recommended as one of the top 5 metaphysical shows in the little e-zine that us hosts get from Blog Talk Radio. So check out Randy Goldberg, Science of Light. And as of now, those are the shows that make up the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And I'm still awaiting Susan Weed to call us. I'm looking in the queue. Okay. None of the songs are working and the board's acting funny tonight. And gosh, I would hate for this to happen again, because one time there was another night where she was having difficulty connecting with the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to physically pick up my computer while you're all listening. And I'm going to walk it closer to the house where the tower is. So we are now outside on this beautiful June evening. I've walked out of the music studio and I'm now on the porch. I'm looking at the show board. I still don't see her. Blog Talk Radio has a lot of variables, shall we say, in their technology. So this close, there shouldn't be any issue. And I think I see her in the caller queue now. And I'm going to go ahead and click on this button. Oh, she just disappeared out of the queue. All right. What I'm going to do is, there it is. I see her number. Okay, I'm now going to click on her button. I know it looks like we're having a retrograde kind of night here, folks. I see it. I'm going to go ahead and click. Welcome, Susan.
Ah, the fourth time's the charm.
Oh, my gosh.
I called, and I didn't really get that anything was wrong until you said, I wonder if she's going to call.
Oh.
I thought she was going on a bit, but, you know, sometimes you do go on a bit, and that's always fun, and I was enjoying it. But when you said, I wonder if she's going to call, I went, oh, darn, and I hung up, and I called, and you still couldn't hear me, and I hung up, and I called, and you still couldn't hear me, and I hung up, and here we are.
Yes. Because sometimes when I do the show out in the studio, because I was in the music studio tonight because there's folks inside, and the signal's not quite as good, but it was I physically just got done walking the computer right next to the house and was still having an issue. So I have a feeling it's just one of those nights.
So are you outside now with your computer? Are we doing our blog?
I was. I just walked in. Now I'm back in the music studio. I just stepped in.
Okay, you recording?
Oh, yeah, we're on. Oh, we were yesterday.
Were you recording some music?
Over some things. Oh, yeah, we had our first actual good outtake, meaning like the first one that I can actually like show to people and say, well, it's rough, but this is kind of what it's going to sound like. So I was very excited about that, to have our first outtake song and of what this project is going to sound like. And I'm excited for the possibilities.
Well, you know, I do my blog talk show from 7:30 to 9:30, then I take a half an hour break from 9:30 to 10, and then you and I get a half an hour to enjoy ourselves. And I sat down at 9:30 and I said, what am I going to talk about tonight on the show? Oh my gosh, there's nothing to talk about. Oh, I haven't prepared for this. And then suddenly I thought, what has just been going in front of your eyes, my girl? University of California Wellness Letter. The end of the fat debate? Fat chance. Tufts Health and Nutrition Letter. Does the new study mean butter is back? Time Magazine. eat better.
Awesome.
So what's going on? Have you been hearing about this?
I haven't specifically. I have heard some people mention that it wasn't as bad as they thought, and, of course, the alternative being even worse, that being margarine.
Well, that is certainly, you know, right on that level, real food over fake food, we know the answer to that. The real food, not the fake food. But people say, well, how about no butter and instead use, you know, like olive oil? That's the Mediterranean diet. Well, actually, the Mediterranean diet does include butter. Now, for years and years and years, I have been saying to people, you know, if you go back to the original Framingham Heart Health Studies, what you will find is that the people with the lowest rate of heart disease were the people who ate the most cholesterol.
Wow.
And people look at me like I have suddenly started to talk an ancient language that makes no sense to them. Because it has just been so deeply instilled in us that saturated fat is bad and leads to heart disease. Let me put it this way. I once heard someone who really should have known better, a person who is very well known, as a matter of fact, the son of a very famous ice cream maker, who was a vegan. And I was teaching at a conference where he was teaching, and Ram Dass had just that week had a stroke. And this person, whose name I am not mentioning, but you could easily find out if you wanted to, actually had the gall to stand in front of us and say that Ram Dass got what he deserved, which was a stroke, because he once saw him eat a bowl of chicken soup.
Oh, good grief.
And, you know, there is that moralistic streak in Americans that is expressed two ways. In one way, it's like, you're going to suffer for the sins of eating, and I'm going to be pure, I'm going to be vegan, I'm going to be, you know, a fruitarian, I'm going to be raw fruit fruitarian, you know. So I will be better than you because I am, you know, making very limited food choices. And you are going to suffer because you are eating the diet of your ancestors who we are told lived short and brutish lives. Of course, that's not at all true. Our ancestors did not. And because I was told this so much, I actually, and especially about menopausal women, I actually spent some time when I was teaching in Europe going to town halls and looking at death records. And I was actually personally quite shocked by the number of women in their 80s and 90s. And especially when you think, well, wasn't like the average life expectancy like 40 or 50? Well, yeah. But we have to understand that the average means the average age at death of everyone, and that infant mortality was far, far higher and more common.
Yes.
So if even one out of every three children died at the age of one, if the average life expectancy is 50, then two people have to live to be 75 to make the average life expectancy 50. Right? We have 1 in 75 and 75, 151 divided by 3 is 50. So the infant mortality causes the average age at death to appear much lower than what we might call the normal age at death. So the big thing that's going on now is that, first of all, 4 years ago, a meta-analysis was done that concluded that there was no evidence that saturated fat was associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. Now, that right there is enough to set off fireworks and alarms, because a great many people have spent a lot of their lives preaching exactly that, that a saturated fat is the very thing that is going to increase your risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attack, and stroke. So what is a meta-analysis? A meta-analysis is not a study. It is a study of studies. So it's an analysis of studies that have already been made. Usually, in a meta-analysis, only certain studies are allowed in. For instance, I was looking at one meta-analysis, and they said that they restricted the meta-analysis to studies that had over 100 patients in them. Now, I think that's a very good restriction. I was quite shocked when I was doing research for the breath book at how many studies included two or three people. And I'm like, that's not a study. that's not much better than anecdotal evidence here. So I like meta-studies and meta-analyses. And there are several groups, and I have mentioned them now and then on this show. The Cochrane Group does a lot of meta-analysis and meta-studies. There are people who don't like meta-analysis and meta-studies because they feel that they lose some of the nuance of what's going on. So certainly there was some question here. One meta-analysis said there's no evidence that saturated fat is associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. But just a couple of months ago, another meta-analysis, a different one done by a different group, was published in a big peer-reviewed journal. And this meta-analysis looked at 80 studies that included more than 500,000 people. Okay, now we're really looking at some studies, right? We're not just looking at how one or two people might react to something. We're saying 500,000 people. And what this meta-analysis found was that the current evidence does not support a low consumption of saturated fat or a high consumption of polyunsaturated fat to replace it. Now, needless to say, this has caused an almost firestorm among those people who have spent a lot of time promoting the other idea. Here's just one quote from one doctor. When you replace saturated fat with polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fat, you lower LDL cholesterol, and that's all I need to know. That's a very interesting statement to me. So what does this statement say? The statement says if we change the diet of the person, then the numbers that we get on our tests change, and that's all I need to know. That's all I'm interested in. I'm not interested in the health of the person. I'm not interested in whether or not this advice that I'm giving people is actually supported by evidence that it reduces the risk of heart disease. No, it lowers the number that I want to see lowered, and that's all I need to know. And this, of course, for most of us, is one of the real problems with scientific medicine. And that is that it's about numbers, not about health. So people go in, they have their blood tested, they're told the total cholesterol is X or Y or Z, and almost invariably, the doctor says, and we'd like it to be below 200, here's your prescription for a cholesterol-lowering drug. Don't eat any saturated fat. I know I've told the story on your show before, but I'm going to tell it again because the essence of a story is hearing it several times. My sweetheart had a coronary artery bypass graft. And he was asked to be under the care of a cardiologist here in his local area. The surgery was done in our big city, which is Manhattan. And we live in the country, 100 miles away from Manhattan. So we went to the first appointment with his cardiologist, and I went with him because I wanted to check out this cardiologist. And first the assistant comes in and measures my sweetheart's blood pressure and his weight. And after doing so, my sweetheart said to the physician's assistant, who was a woman, what is my blood pressure? And she turned to him and said, you don't need to know that. which I found a very rude and quite shocking answer. And my sweetheart, being a more even-tempered person than I probably would have bitten her head off instantly, said, well, I may not need to know it, but I want to know it. And she said, well, then you can ask the doctor. Which again was, I thought, very snippy and not very helpful answer. So the doctor came in. The doctor sat down and looked at notes, looked at writing, looked at numbers, did not look at or engage with my sweetheart on a person-to-person level, but engaged instead with my sweetheart's chart. And the cardiologist said, well, it looks here like your numbers are pretty good. Just what this other cardiologist is saying, right? It lowers the numbers. That's all I need to know. It looks like your numbers are pretty good. We've gotten your cholesterol down to, he mentioned a number. He said, but I'd like to get it down even lower than that, so I'm going to increase your dose of statin and see if we can't get it lower. And I said to the cardiologist at that point, and how much less risk of heart attack will there be if the cholesterol is lowered from what it is now to what you're proposing? And he looked at me and he said, I don't know. And I said, well, shouldn't there be some basis for your lowering it? And he said, no, the lower the number, the better. Which, again, is exactly what this person is saying. No, I'm not actually interested in your real risk of having a heart attack. I'm just interested in your numbers. And I want lower numbers. Whether or not that actually translates into a better life or freedom from disease is not so interesting to me. He then proceeded to tell my sweetheart to avoid saturated fat, exactly what we're talking about, to avoid butter, to avoid full-fat dairy, to be sure to drink fat-free dairy, and to limit his intake of all meat. And I waited what seemed to me an appropriately long amount of time. Certainly wasn't a really long amount of time. It wasn't 5 minutes. It may not have even been a full 60 seconds, but it was surely more than 30 seconds that I let the silence go on. And then I said to the doctor, I notice that you have not told him to avoid trans fats. There's a known, direct, and clear link between trans fats in food and the diet and heart attack, whereas there is no clear and direct link between saturated fat and heart attack. Why don't you tell him to avoid trans fat? And he looked up over the edge of the papers at me, kept his head down, but raised his eyes only to me and said, it's not in the protocol, and dropped his eyes to the paper again. It seems to me from where I sit that this is what dissatisfies people when it comes to modern medicine. Modern medicine is truly miraculous. We're on the verge of being able to 3D print kidneys and livers and do amazing things. And yet we crave a personal interaction. We do not want to be reduced to numbers and then have our numbers manipulated. So I've been eating butter all along. All right. And as I was looking into, you know, what's going on, I mean, people have been coming out. I think it was Dean Ornish that I saw or read an interview with Dean Ornish. And what he said is, they're just wrong. They're just wrong. Saturated fat leads to heart attacks. I've proved it. I've proved that they are just wrong. And he just kept repeating that this has to be wrong. It doesn't have to be wrong, but it doesn't make him wrong. It's not wrong that eating less saturated fat could reduce the risk of heart disease for some people. It's not wrong, but neither is it wrong that eating saturated fat, and we will go into more specifics about that, could actually be healthy for some people. So more specifics, and let's also hearken back to Weston Price, one of my favorite near historical figures. And he found that most indigenous people eat diets that are pretty high in fat. 30 to 40% fat is the usual amount of fat in a healthy indigenous person's diet. Now, certainly there are times that are leaner where they aren't able to get that, but most of the time that's what a well-nourished person will eat. Compare that to what has been suggested to Americans, a very, very low fat. As a matter of fact, the dietary guidelines are that Americans should get less than 10% of their daily calories from saturated fat, and that if you're older than 2, you should limit your saturated fat intake to less than 7% of your calories, and that if you have any risk factors for heart disease, it should be even lower than that. So what does that mean? What are we missing out on when we eat fat-free milk or skim milk? Well, we're missing out on some pretty important things that Weston Price put his finger on. And as a matter of fact, he felt that one of the biggest panaceas that he knew of was butter. Now, it has to be butter from pasture-raised animals. It has to be butter from antibiotic-free animals. It has to be butter from animals that are not given supplemental hormones of any kind. So I can't see hormone-free animals because, of course, all animals have hormones. They produce hormones just like we do. So he identified in butter from pasture-raised animals. And, of course, when he was looking, there was really no question about hormones and antibiotics, so he didn't even have to specify that. He found something that he called Factor X that was only found in pasture butter from animals on summer pastures. And he found that Factor X was actually able to reverse heart disease in people. Nowadays, we would not necessarily call margaric acid Factor X as he did, but it is one of the substances that is found in dairy products that is associated with a lower risk of heart disease. So margaric acid, which is a saturated fat, if we're using fat-free dairy, we are not getting margaric acid, is actually associated with a reduced risk of heart disease. And the polyunsaturated vegetable oils that we are told to use instead of the saturated fats have been linked to a higher risk of heart disease. Now, the omega-6 essential fatty acids are a group of essential fatty acids that I was just standing in the kitchen the other morning and thinking, omega-6 fatty acids, would you give me a call out? Because I haven't heard from you in a while. Has opinion changed about you? You know, are you still considered a cause of inflammation? Has your reputation been improved? What's going on? And then the very next thing that I read was omega-6 fatty acids are linked to a higher risk of heart disease, which is certainly what my kind of strange teachers taught us. All right, this is certainly not mainstream advice. The mainstream advice is eat vegetable oils. And what my teachers say is no, don't eat vegetable oils, because vegetable oils are really high in omega-6 fatty acids. And omega-6 fatty acids drive inflammatory process in the body. Omega-3 essential fatty acids quell inflammation in the body. Back to Weston Price. What Weston Price found was that in most indigenous diets, the ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 in the diet was 1 to 1 or 2 to 1. In other words, for every 1 unit of omega-3 fatty acid, there's 1 unit of omega-6 fatty acid, or for every 2 units of omega-3, there is 1 unit of omega-6. The vegetable oils, the polyunsaturated fats that are being pushed as the replacement for the saturated fats, are extremely high in omega-6 fatty acids. And by high, I don't mean that there's like four or five of them to one omega-3 fatty acid. I mean there's hundreds of them to one omega-3 fatty acid. Sally Fallon, who currently heads the Weston Price Foundation and the work of the Wise Traditions Foundation, has an incredible video called The Oiling of America, which chronicles how America got duped into believing that saturated fats were bad and that oil, vegetable oil, was better for us than animal fat. The Oiling of America. Really fascinating thing. And she has bar charts showing the omega-6 fatty acids and the omega-3 fatty acids in the vegetable oils. Well, we got off to a late start, and I have been particularly loquacious, and so here we are at the end of our time.
Yes. And thank you very much for joining us again.
And thank you so much for going to the Wise Woman Bookshop and checking out everything there at the Wise Woman Bookshop. And come and visit me also at SusanWeed.com. Green blessings, everybody. Remember, herbal medicine is people's medicine.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for joining us again. And I'm not sure if our professional-sounding plugs that we're trying to get are going to work here. We'll try it one more time. Oh, well, we do have...
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.